Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Rebecca Becky Clay Flores is challenging longtime incumbent Sergio Chico Rodriguez in the Democratic primary runoff for District 1 seat on the Bexar County Commissioner's Court. Incumbent Rodriguez edged out the challenger, Clay Flores, percentage-wise in the March 3rd primary election, but not enough to win the nomination outright. So we have this runoff. Election day is July of 14th, and whoever wins that runoff will face the Republican nominee Gabriel Lata, a retired paramedic, in November. Rodriguez's campaign did not respond in time to numerous invitations to participate in this runoff forum before the start of early voting. The invitation now is for a solo interview with the candidate to balance out what we're going to have today with Rebecca, but we haven't really been able to confirm that or set a date yet, so we encourage the Rodriguez campaign to work with us to be able to get him on the air to explain his record and what he wants to do for this the largest precinct that we have in Bexar County. So we do have Becky Clay Flores with us this afternoon. If you have a question or a comment, call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Becky Clay Flores, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you so much. It's a privilege and honor to be on your program. I am a fan, and when I was texting my friends to let them know to tune in, they told me to send you greetings because you have a lot of fans out there. So thank you for having me.
All right. Well, give us your pitch. When you meet someone for the first time, you're trying to explain to them that you are running for this precinct one seat for Bexar County Commissioner's Court. How do you do that?
Well, when I am block walking, it depends on the person in the community because, of course, I believe that I am running to represent the most diverse and vast geographic area of the precincts, out of all the precincts in Bexar County. So I start off obviously by introducing myself. And right now, since it's the runoff, I am making history by forcing the incumbent of 16 years into a runoff election. And in 100 years, there have only been two women on the commissioner's court. This is 2020. It's actually the 100th anniversary of the women's suffrage movement, that we as women have been given the right to vote. So when I was doing my research and realized that not only do we not currently have a woman on the commissioner's court, we haven't had one in over 20 years, and there have only been two women, and I would be the first woman of color, I was just found it ridiculous, and I was complaining. And I believe that I shouldn't be complaining unless I'm ready to step up and do something about it. I believe in practicing what I preach. I'm always talking about the fact that we need more people of color to run for office. We need more women to run for office. So that's why I decided to run. I am a constituent. I am a voter. I have voted for the incumbent in the past and have been disappointed that he has taken my vote for granted. And I decided to run because I'm tired of seeing elected officials not do what they need to do for the community and not fight for resources for my community. So I decided to step up and run for office. I am a proud graduate of Brackenridge High School, grew up here in the inner city, grew up in poverty, was actually homeless in my early childhood, went on to Princeton, majored in religion and African American studies, went on to get a master's from Harvard, and have spent 15 years in nonprofit and education work, have taught from the inner city to rural kids to other countries, have had the privilege of teaching from 10-year-olds to 60-year-olds, GED and ESL, and the last 5 years, I have been working for the city of San Antonio. And hopefully, by July 14th and next year, I will be serving as your next county commissioner.
Precinct 1 for Bexar County, it's the largest precinct, most populous. It's pretty vast, very varied. Tell me about working, what you think you need to bring to represent this district.
What I think I need to represent this district?
Tell me about the district. You know, as you go out and you experience the district, it's huge. You're probably discovering parts of it you didn't, all the time. So this is, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, obviously my district is very diverse. The needs of the Southtown community are very different than the needs of the far south side, which is rural, very different from the northwest side and Alamo Ranch. But I think that the one thing that we all have in common and the one thing that I need to bring to Commissioner's Court is transparency and accountability. I promise, this is the only promise I'm making as I meet people, is to be present and accountable. One of the main things that I hear as I meet with constituents and when I was block walking is that they were surprised to see me, the candidate. I have been to over 26 neighborhood association meetings, some of them up to 4 times, and people were continuously surprised, not only that I showed up the first time, but that I was there the second, third, and fourth time, because what I was told was that in 16 years, the incumbent had never come to a neighborhood association meeting. When I knock on doors, people are surprised that it's me, the incumbent. I have taken all of my vacation time to work the polls. I was out there in February during early voting when it was rainy and cold, and I will be out there for the next 2 weeks in the 100-degree weather, because I believe that if I'm claiming to want to represent the community, then I have to be out there present and accessible so that people can ask me questions and I can learn what their concerns are. Because I can't claim to know all the answers. I need the community to talk to me about what their issues are so we can move forward and fight together.
So you have worked as a teacher. You've gone from homeless to Harvard Princeton via BRAC. That's a pretty compelling story. Do you think having you on Commissioner's Court would be a powerful message?
Oh, absolutely. Because of my story, because of my personal experiences and my professional experiences, I have worked with a diverse group of people. I have, like you said, I was homeless. If you go to my website, RebeccaClayFlotus.org, I talk about my story and I talk about my earliest memory here in San Antonio at the age of 4, being kicked out of a raggedy hotel downtown. And so that is part of my consciousness. That is part of what has the essence of my being, of what has compelled me to the studies, the courses of study I chose, to the work that I have done, and to what I am presently doing. So I feel comfortable hanging out and serving the homeless, which I do regularly. And I feel comfortable hanging out with politicians and royalty. I've had the privilege of traveling to about 20 foreign countries. I actually have dual citizenship with Mexico. In Lesotho in Southern Africa, I hung out with the king there and ate at the Prince Mother's house. I have taught from, like I said earlier, from inner city Black and Latino students, of which I am Blaxican to be precise. And I have taught rural students. I have taught internationally, including teaching English at the State University, La Universidad Autónoma de Tamaulipas in Tampico. And I have also worked at a private school, private university, where I was recruiting college kids to take the year off to serve, to do a year abroad of community service. So there I taught them how to immerse themselves in other cultures. I taught them how to be servant leaders, how to fundraise. So these experiences have taught me to respect everyone because they are human beings. Regardless of how much money you are donating to me, regardless even if you voted for me or not, it is about you being a constituent and me being here to serve. I think elected officials oftentimes have gone away from servant leadership. And I can't ask someone to do something that I am not willing to do myself. Working locally in, here in local government for the city has helped me to see a lot of things, working with some local officials. And I have become disgusted with seeing many elected officials get elected and then they do nothing but line their own pockets instead and leave the community behind. So my campaign is more than a political campaign. It is a grassroots movement. It is a campaign for the people, for the community, para la raza, para mi gente, para mis paisanos.
You talk about your website. On your website, you have your issues. Top of the list is community economic development and property tax relief. Can you talk about that?
Sure. How I want to approach community economic development is that one of the things Commissioner's Court is responsible for is approving all contracts. Unfortunately, currently most of the contracts go to large companies. And one of the problems with the Commissioner's Court is that there are no term limits and there are no donation limits. So you have these large companies that can give thousands of dollars in donations, and then, you know, 2 months later, guess who gets the contract? I really want to ensure that we are giving more contracts to local, small, minority-owned, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses so that they can in turn create more jobs for people in Precinct 1, especially with the issues that have been magnified with the pandemic. This is so important. So that's one of the ways I want to approach community economic development, property tax relief. So being that I went to BRAC, one of the issues in Southtown is that it's so much development, which is great, and we need more development on the south side. Of course, my precinct also reaches up to the northwest side, but specifically for community economic development, more so on the south side. The problem is we don't want all this development coming in, and it makes it too expensive for us to continue to live in our own neighborhoods. So I really want to introduce a policy, a clause that says, for example, if you've been in your home more than 7 years, regardless of your age, because we know if you're 65 or older, then your property taxes don't continue to rise. But that if you've been in your home for more than 7 years, then we're not going to continue to raise taxes so that we can attract different developers to come into our precinct without pushing out the people who have been here for generations. And we want to attract developers that we want and that we need, not just developers who pay to play.
Rebecca Clay Flores is the Democratic runoff candidate for Precinct 1 on Bexar County Commissioner's Court. Her opponent is Sergio Chico Rodriguez, the incumbent. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more with Rebecca Clay Flores. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.
DACA recipients collectively breathed a sigh of relief earlier this month, and Congress still looks to find a solution.
You know, we are always ready to engage the president and Mitch McConnell in conversation about what's possible with respect to protecting our dreamers. And, you know, it makes it tough, though, when the president uses immigrants as his number one political punching bag.
What's next for DACA? Next time on Fronteras. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Rebecca Clay Flores, Democratic runoff candidate for Precinct 1 on the Bexar County Commissioner's Court. She's in a runoff against the incumbent, Sergio Chico Rodriguez. His campaign did not respond to invitations to come onto our program. We hope to have him on a later date. The winner of the runoff will go into the November 3rd election. There they will face the Republican nominee Gabriel Lata. If you have a question for Becky Clay Flores, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Velma is on the line. Velma, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Velma, and I have a comment first, and I just wanted to mention that Mr. Rodriguez has not participated or communicated with any neighborhood associations in the West Side. So my question to Rebecca, are you willing to participate and communicate with the neighborhood association?
All right. Thank you, Velma.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Absolutely. I myself, if you've been following my campaign at all, I have a small team of volunteers. We are small but mighty. And I personally, when I began running, researched to get the list of neighborhood associations, and I individually called people and reached out to them. Of course, some of the information we get isn't updated, and but I have continued to do that. And I'm not going out there just so people can vote for me. I plan to continue this. This is going to be part of my 4 years in office, to be the commissioner for the entire precinct, whether it's the west side or the northwest side or the rural south side or Southtown. I plan to be a commissioner for the entire precinct, and it's only by going to the neighborhood associations to really get to see the issues and the personality of each neighborhood, because I will be representing the largest geographic area. So thank you for that. And please hold me to that, hold me accountable to make sure I come to your neighborhood association meeting.
It is astonishing the variety of conditions across the district, the precinct. We have some pockets that of great need, some poverty there, great poverty. And we also have areas of tremendous flash and growth and abundance. And it seems like, how would an individual be able to figure out how to represent that?
Well, I think, again, that's why my background is so fitting for this position, because I have been, grew up in poverty, yet I was educated in the most elite institutions. So it takes somebody who treats everyone equally. I plan to spend equal amounts of time throughout the precinct, not just where I get my votes. And every need, so obviously the northwest side of my precinct is more developed. The homes, one might argue, are a bit newer. Salaries tend to be higher, but that doesn't mean that they don't have issues, and vice versa. There are different issues, and I plan to, as I've been doing, learn to understand these issues from the community.
Now, Velma mentioned that they haven't heard much from your opponent, the incumbent, Sergio Chico Rodriguez. This is not unusual. People have been saying that for many years, that he has not really been engaging a whole lot. He's not very vocal on the commissioner's court bench during the hearings and the court sessions. So have you had a debate with him? How does that worked out?
I have wanted a debate. I would love to have a debate. Unfortunately, he has not responded. For example, I was really excited because the League of Women Voters invited both of us for a candidate forum, which was going to be on Taylor N. So I was really excited about that. But in their email, they made it clear that they wanted both candidates. And if one person couldn't make it, then it would be canceled. He never responded. Another example, there's smaller, you know, candidate forums in different neighborhoods and stuff, but I'm talking about the larger ones that everyone will be familiar with. Another example was the Express News. When we went to for the editorial board to see who would be endorsed, I thought that was going to be the first time I was going to meet him. I was actually excited to meet him. And at the last minute, he did not show up. So it was just myself and the third person running, Freddie Mendoza, who has endorsed me. And case in point now, that he said he wasn't available at all this week. Well, I have taken off 3 weeks of vacation because this campaign is important to me. And this is the week before early voting. That's what we're doing, campaigning. Our constituents need to hear from us. If they don't hear from us, how are they going to make an educated decision on who to vote for? So, unfortunately, that has been the situation. I would love a debate, but for now, I am just privileged and honored that you guys allowed me to come on by myself.
And I do want to mention that you did end up getting the endorsement from the Express News.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
in the Super Tuesday race. So, let's talk about what's happening with COVID and our community and trying to keep people safe here in Bexar County. We have some of the highest numbers, and it's just becoming, this is a huge crisis, and we need leadership at all levels. What can someone at the Precinct 1 level do?
Yeah, well, the last 5 years working for the city, I worked in the mayor's office under the previous mayor and currently work for the health department. And I currently do contracts for the health department, but previously I started doing my own research on social determinants of health, the school to jail pipeline, how all this is interconnected. I started doing presentations on it because I felt that as a community, we weren't talking enough about the economic and health disparities. It shouldn't depend on what zip code one lives in. That means, you know, what kind of access to healthcare you have, what kind of access to education you have. And so, frankly, we didn't need a pandemic to show us that the southern sector of Bexar County is disproportionate in terms of healthcare access, economic opportunities. And it's unfortunate that we are now having a spike. I think we all need to do what we can to ensure that our most vulnerable communities are taken care of. My mother and my stepfather, Bob, I mean, they're really sad because they're not able to help me right now because my brother and I don't let them leave their house. So we go and do their groceries and everything for them. And so I would encourage, you know, younger people out there, continue to wear your mask and practice social distance. But reach out to your elderly neighbors or to elderly people from your church and offer to do their grocery shopping.
Okay.
Offer to cut their yard.
So let me get this email question in because we're running short on time. It's from Kimberly. This is priorities 1 and 2. What are they when you get into office?
Community economic development, which we also talked about, and mental health in the school to jail pipeline. So in the state of Texas, the number one provider of mental health are jails. It is so tragic that it's almost like we wait for people to make a mistake before we get them mental health access. So the commissioner's court is also responsible for you know, mental health in jails, but they also have the privilege of doling out a lot of money to nonprofit organizations. And even though commissioner's court is not over schools, we need to partner with schools to make sure that we are supporting more social workers and social service organizations in schools to deal with these issues. I mean, it ties back to the issues of the pandemic affecting and killing our most vulnerable communities. Again, it's lack of resources, and that's why there's so many underlying issues. We need to deal with these underlying issues first so that we can move forward.
And we're seeing a lot of people calling for police reform, particularly, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement. You talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a woman who is Black and Mexican, we have had to deal with these issues our entire lives. When I was a senior at BRAC and I got my driver's license, my oldest brother, because I did not grow up with my father, don't have a relationship with him, my other brother took me aside and said, Becky, if the cops ever stop you, you don't talk about, you're going to call their supervisor. You don't talk about this. You keep both hands on the steering wheel. You say, yes, sir. Because as I'm doing now, speaking up against injustice, I have always done that. I have always been vocal. So these are things that the Black community has always dealt with. And yes, police reform is needed. But the issues of police brutality on Black men in America and what we're seeing now is bigger than police brutality. It is about ingrained, systematic, institutionalized racism that we need to attack. The fact that there are Black men being found hung by trees around this country and it's being considered as suicidal is bigger than police brutality, is bigger than mental health suicide. It is about systemic racism, and we need to attack these issues. We need more elected officials to speak up and know that we are here to represent the people. We are not here to just take money from large corporations or make sure, you know, some presentation at commissioner's court or at city council fits neatly into a PowerPoint presentation. We need to make hard decisions with the help and the input of community members so that we can really fight for justice. My slogan is Juntos luchamos, juntos ganamos, which means together we fight, together we win, and I will continue to do that until the day I die.
And do you think your the residents of Precinct 1, I have about a minute left, that this is what they want?
Absolutely. Based on myself being present and accountable, the people that I've met with as I've been block walking, neighborhood after neighborhood, meeting with neighborhood association meetings. This is what I'm hearing from the people, and I will fight to represent and be a voice for the people, loud and proud.
All right. I want to thank you, Rebecca Clay Flores. She's the Democratic runoff candidate for Precinct 1 on Bexar County Commissioner's Court. I do want to let you know that we did reach out to Sergio Chico Rodriguez's campaign. They did not respond in time to numerous invitations to participate in this runoff forum. An invitation does stand for him, though. We would like to have a solo interview with him. We can get that on the air so you can make a good decision when it comes to the runoff day. The election day is July 14th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.